Around Australia. Here's Inside Motorsport.
Well, Colin, we were saying it was a bit of a ho-hum weekend for motorsport. If it wasn't for the new V8X magazine coming out next weekend, there'd really be nothing to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few things we can talk about, but of course, if we're looking for things close to home, it's mainly happening overseas, like the Hungarian Grand Prix, Formula 3000, Hungaroring. But if we're looking close to home, yes, this weekend is very ho-hum here in Australia. But of course, you say, next weekend, of course, it's the big launch of V8X magazine. And of course, Neville Wilkinson is the editor over there, and he joins us now.
G'day, guys.
How are you going, Neville?
Excellent.
I take it this is probably this time, is it basically the magazine put to bed, or are you still running around like a headless chook?
Well, not so much a headless chook. Well, hopefully not. It was a couple of like that a couple of weeks ago, but it's all at the distributors, and hopefully, well, it should be on the shelf by the 18th of this month. Which is Friday, so just before colder, so it's just wait and see, actually. I may be running around like a headless chook trying to organise some, make sure the public know about it, get some coverage and some bit of exposure.
Mm. Now, in terms of the magazine, what sort of size format is it?
It's what they call a quarto, or close enough to an A4. It's just a general, quarto size magazine. I mean, yeah, basically like your Motor Racing Australia.
Or your Autosport, that sort of size magazine.
That's correct. Autosport's probably a little bit larger because of its style, but yeah, basically that size.
And it is full colour, and on the cover, the way you can pick it out is, of course, Garth Tander, and with V8X being a total V8 supercar and V8 light magazine, obviously we're going to find out a lot more about the drivers who make up this series.
Well, we think drivers are a big part. I mean, you talk about your Ford and Holden battles, and that's very important. And like everybody has their fans, but you find a lot of people follow drivers. And Garth Tander is one of the most popular drivers out there. I mean, like, he's racing up the front. He's probably one of the only drivers at the moment that's really having a red-hot go at HRT consistently. So, yeah, we thought we'd go with Garth for the first guy. And from issues, from this issue on, well, he's not actually doing it this issue, but from then on, he's got a column in V8X. So we think, well, Garth's the right age group that we're trying to get to.
And, of course, on top of that, you mentioned to us last week that you've got the top 20 people involved in V8 supercar racing, and obviously included in that are the people who, well, last week were saying everything honky-dory between Cairns and, of course, the Avesco organising body, but, well, it seems that they went into court and had a minor victory in court this week.
Well, the judge kind of said that Cairns wasn't, either they hadn't presented their case properly or they hadn't defined exactly what was going on, and the judge kind of ruled in favour of Avesco to a point, and, you know, Avesco saying, well, we told you so, you know, now you're going to spend more money. I mean, you know, I don't know whether it's how much further this is going to go or whatever. I mean, I'm sure Cams and Avesco are sitting down and talking to each other as well. Well, I hope so, just for the good of the sport. So, yeah, you know, to watch this space, really.
Yeah, a lot of big announcements, as well as V8X hitting the shelves next weekend at Calder Park, because, just the rumour mill quite abundant, and we also get to have a look at the Fords this time with a Holden undertrain.
Well, supposedly that's the case. I mean, we're running a story about it, and it was like they've talked about it at Iron Park. I mean, the Fords and the Holdens are going to have underneath, they're different underneath. Well, now they're going to have exactly the same design underneath with their little winglets and stuff. I mean, the Holden one obviously works very well, and they're giving the same design to Fords. I mean, probably at the front you won't notice any difference in the look, but underneath is where all the difference is. And a lot of drivers at Iron Park really don't know how it's going to affect the cars in regards to, they've got to set up their cars. I mean, some of the teams aren't going to get the new front air dams until after Calder, or they're not going to get them in time to get them ready for Calder. I mean, they've got to test on them and they've got to do different setups. So, I mean, don't expect too great a thing to Calder. It's probably after Calder you see the big difference.
All right, Mark, they're still leading the championship from Glen Seton, Garth Sander, Craig Lowndes, Paul Radisich. Paul Radisich, a quite achiever, you must say. Greg Murphy, Russell Ingall, Tony Longhurst, Stephen Johnson and Jason Barguana round out the top 10. Barguana is the defending champion, although it was well, you'd almost call it an F1 motorboat race last year.
Well, yes, it was kind of, well, actually, it's really weird how it was. I mean, Calder's got the problems with rain and all that kind of stuff. I mean, hopefully they've fixed that. I mean, you just don't know with the weather in Melbourne. It could be like, today was a beautiful day, and next week could be an absolute torrential. I mean, this is the weather at this time of year in Melbourne, and you wonder why they actually scheduled this race again for this time of the year, but maybe that was the only slot they had, so it remains to be seen.
Well, football finals as well isn't going to help anyone's cause, and two games in Melbourne, fortunately none on Sunday. There's a Friday night and a Saturday game, which, well, unfortunately my team has to play.
Well, yeah, I know, but hey, I think VH Supercars is big enough. They don't have to really worry about AFL. I mean, AFL has its own market, and I mean, okay, there's a lot of bit of crossover between the footy fans and the motorsport, but hey, I think VH Supercars has matured, and I think it's just an entity in its own right.
Mm. All right, Neville, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you, and we will be hearing from you next weekend, I'm sure, after a very exciting call to Park Race.
Well, hopefully I've got some more goss and tell you what's going on down there.
All right, thanks very much, Neville Wilkinson. V8X hits the shelves next Friday, so we hope you can be a part and, well, get right behind the scene of V8 Supercar racing here in Australia with V8X.
Well, I hope so.
Well, we might turn our attention now to Formula One as Neville Wilkinson leaves us there, because we have this opportunity to have a look at the practice times from the Hungara Ring. We cross now to the BBC World Service.
Championship leader Michael Schumacher will be on pole position for the Hungarian Grand Prix in Budapest. Schumacher, in his Ferrari, fought off the double challenge of the McLaren pair, Mika Hakkinen and David Coulthard. From Budapest, Jonathan Ledger.
If the writing was on the wall after morning practice, it's now poster-sized in red. Michael Schumacher, under the admiring gaze of Ferrari president Luca di Montezemolo, was a class apart under a baking sun. Last out, but faster than his first attempt, Schumacher was a comfortable 0.3 seconds better. Try as they might, the McLarens of Coulthard and Hakkinen never came close. In truth, second and third was the best of a fruitless job. Hakkinen was as low as 11th mid-session, despite being first car out. Tactics, particularly in those high-pressure moments at the start, will be crucial in the race. Schumacher, though, was stony-faced when asked for his thoughts on that first corner charge. Ferrari will want to know why Rubens Barrichello was beaten by Ralf Schumacher, a season's best in fourth for Williams in the wake of two poor race weekends. Jenson Button was eighth, so Williams' testing in Spain last week seems to have paid dividends. Frentzen and Fittichello were sixth and seventh. One notable disappointment, though, was the 1997 World Champion Jack Villeneuve, down in 16th for British American Racing, and Johnny Herbert, third here 3 years ago, was even worse, 17th.
Michael Schumacher, the championship leader, has failed to pick up points in four of the last five races, but feels that Ferrari have now got it right.
We felt confident coming here, and I hope we can be confident going away from here tomorrow. Honestly, that's what is important tomorrow. Today, it helps, but we really have to finish a race, and then we can have a good opportunity to win it.
Yes, Michael Schumacher there, certainly looking for a reversal of starting fortunes. Motorsport News editor is, I was about to say Chris Landon, no it's not, it's Phil Brannigan. He joins us on the line, and of course you have all the news from the last, Formula One and V8 Supercar races, and as you head into another weekend down there in Melbourne, it is going to be very exciting stuff.
Yes, it is going to be a very exciting week for us, Craig, but just before I get onto that, just for once, wouldn't you like to hear Michael Schumacher say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get that Finnish guy and I'm going to rub his nose in it. I mean, they all talk too polite for me.
Well, at times, he certainly was fairly outspoken, blaming Giancarlo Fisichella for his first starting wreck incident, was that two races ago now?
In Germany, yeah, I don't know, Michael's having a bit of a mid-season slump at the moment, and interesting to note from Hungary, they've declared a temporary red light district. I don't think that's anything to do with the journalists that are covering the race.
All right, then. Look, in Motorsport News, which is on the stands right now as I speak, of course, your exclusive, Mark Webber, having that Benetton F1 test confirmed.
Yes, and he actually drives the car at Lucy Levis this week in some straight line testing, and people will say, well, straight line testing, it's a bit like watching grass grow at 175 miles an hour. What's the big deal? And the big deal is that Benetton want to make sure that Mark is used to the car, he fits in the car, that he knows the team know him, before he goes to Estoril and tests the car properly. So, yes, straight line testing is a little bit like mowing the grass, but it's an important step for him in his career to get into the car for the first time, so that when he does go and drive the car at a racetrack where he's never driven before, by the way, everything is not foreign to him. So.
Mm.
Well, keeping track of that.
You just have to think to the beginning of the season when straight line testing was certainly the topic on a lot of people's lips when I think it was Gary Rogers Motorsport went out and did some.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that falls outside the definition of testing here in this country, and I don't think anyone will be going to have one again, but you never know. We'll be keeping an eye on things.
Yes, and of course, big news coming out during the week, of course. We've already actually mentioned on the show about the court case being somewhat thrown out last weekend by the Victorian Supreme Court, and I actually found that Canberra result, which certainly put a different gloss on it.
Well, yes. I mean, it's quite common in these sorts of instances, Craig, that one side will claim victory and one side will claim that they haven't been defeated. It's not quite as clear-cut as a motor race where the guy who's timing thing breaks the beam first wins the race. No. Tony Cochran from Iveco was very outspoken and said, yes, this is what's happened. We're claiming costs. We've been awarded costs. And if anything happens further to this, there'll be more costs incurred. CAMS have said, we're going to fix up our submission and have a go again. Everyone's got a right to their day in court, whether you're an individual or an organisation. And it's not over. It's round one. Frazier's on the floor, but he's getting up and Ali's looking worried in the corner.
All right, then. Now, talking about open wheelers, which we aren't, but we will, and, of course, in the Formula 3000, our own Mark Webber yesterday, probably had a disappointing run by his standards, finishing back in what I have, ninth position.
Yes, he ran as high as 8th. He qualified 11th, or actually qualified 12th, but somebody was kicked out in front of him. We'll have a full report on that from Joe Saber, who's over there at the Hungaro Ring. Something very odd happened to Mark in qualifying, and I believe Avon are making investigations now as to what happened. The most interesting thing for mine from the whole weekend was the Mike McLaren team qualified and ran 1-2 at Hockenheim, and they finished 17th and 18th at the Hungaro Ring. What the heck is going on at McLaren?
Well, yes, as we just heard from the BBC, what the heck's going on at Barr, because 16th position is, Danny Minogue's soon-to-be husband, and Johnny Herbert's having a shocker because he was finishing it. What probably saves young Villeneuve is the fact that even older Herbert was further behind him.
Well, I don't know what all the fuss is about. Everyone expected the BAR to go well in Germany because it's got lots of straight-line horsepower. We knew that. And everyone expected the thing to absolutely, excuse my French, suck at the Hungaro Ring because it's got a bad chassis. There's no need for horsepower at the Hungaro Ring. Damon Hill proved that a few years ago when he was driving that dirty old Arrows and almost won the race. And the BAR's got a lousy chassis and a great engine. And Jacques 16th, big deal. We knew that was coming.
All right, then Marcus Ambrose, back to Australians. He's going back over for the 11th round of the British Formula 3 Championship at Silverstone, next weekend. And driving for Alan Docking.
Yeah.
Good news there for the 23-year-old.
Well, Docko, of course, is the guy. He actually is from Melbourne. He's from Canberra. His mum lives in Camberwell. And he's the guy who ran Mark Webber in 1997. Ambrose's debut a couple of weekends ago, we always put an Australian flag on this. The Pommy media called it polished and professional. So Marcus Ambrose made the wrong choice last year going to the wrong Formula 4 team, Ray, and then got into Van Diemen and kicked everybody else's butt for the rest of the year. Did the same thing this year. Went to the wrong Formula 4 championship with the wrong car in a Martini. Looked like a dope. Now he gets into a Dallara run by Docko, and he looks like a star again. I don't know how many more chances Marcus Ambrose is going to get to make the wrong decision again.
Announcements coming out today, this week, that he will be invited over to run in the gold post festivities at the Honda India as part of what they've rejigged the celebrity race, so people like Colin and I can't get a Guernsey,
yeah,
and
right,
putting the
yeah.
young guns in there.
That's true. A voting panel of five, of which I am one, and I don't get a Honda Integra out of this. What's going on? Alan Jones and John Laws assured me I'd get a car.
And that isn't the one that's been putting on the pounds and works with Big Darrell.
No, certainly not putting on the pounds. Oh, I'm glad I didn't say that.
No, it's too far away to hit me. Anyway, his son's doing a great job in the GTPs as well.
Yeah, Christian's really coming on well. More Ferraris. I mean, how much money's been spent on Nations Cup this year? There's some great cars out there. Christian,
and he's torn up.
Hey?
And some great cars torn up.
Absolutely. And great cars running around with Porsche radiators and Ferraris and all that sorts of things. But it's a great category. Nations Cup really kicked on. And I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen in the rest of the championship this year and into 2001 with that class.
Talking about more Ferraris, so I got the SAP United States F1 GP calendar, and the class that we saw over here, which was fantastic, was the Modena class, and they're also featuring at the at the Brickyard.
Oh, the 360. Oh yes, of course they are. All the money that went to get the cars out here to Australia at the start of the season. I turned around and got the cars, to Indianapolis this year. And the Indianapolis facility, wait till you see this race on television next month, folks, because it's not going to look like the Brickyard that we're all familiar with. It is the most mind-blowing facility. Apparently, Tony George has spent in excess of $100 million US dollars on getting the whole thing up to speed. State-of-the-art, and I wouldn't mind getting over there and getting in the media centre, to be perfectly honest, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for my car. But bugger that, watching it on TV. I'll just buy a ticket.
Do Impulse go to Indianapolis?
Damn shame. Colin, I know you've been biting your tongue and I've been taking up all the airtime.
Oh, I just sort of sit over here and let it all go. The other interesting one, of course, is Marcus Ambrose, the fact that he's one of the drivers potentially slated for a test drive with Larry Perkins, along with Christian Murchison, who's just been Formula 3000 test as well.
I'm not going to talk about Christian Murchison's Formula 3000 test because his PR company decided to keep the press out of the loop and gave it to a television station exclusively. So, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't deserve to get any press.
Oh, okay. Just do what we do. Ring him on his mobile and just talk to him direct.
When he's at the section ring.
That's a good idea, but, if the PR company that handles his effects chooses to do that, it's fine. They can live with the alternatives.
Ah, very interesting, yeah. So then, we're hoping to catch Alex Davison. Hope he doesn't have the same PR people.
No, he doesn't. No. So we never get anything off his PR people either. Alex is doing a right, a very tough series over in Europe. He emerges actually staying with him at the moment.
Yeah, that's how we rang up. We rang him up last week and spoke to him. And of course, you can catch that show on the internet at theautochannel.com/cybercast/IMS. Of course, the whole history of Inside Motorsport over the last 2.5 years is stored there. And if you wanted to, you're more than welcome to get that story off there.
True. Now, we've got some interesting things coming up because we've got a new show out this Thursday. For instance.
Sorry, I meant to get to this sooner.
You meant to get to the new issue?
The new issue sooner.
Ask me this question. Who is John Crichton Stewart?
John Crichton Stewart.
The seventh Marquess of Bute.
Marquess of Bute on the off the coast of Scotland.
That's the one.
And he is, if he's the person I'm thinking of, he's a Lord of the English Parliament who just voted themselves into oblivion, and has been a major fixture in the Vauxhall Lords versus Commons Vauxhall race at Donington Park every year.
Maybe, but he used to drive for Lotus.
Oh, okay.
So it's Johnny Dumfries. We're actually chasing him down. We haven't chased him down. We've actually thought in the Motorsport News office, whatever happened to such and such? Whatever happened to da-da-da? Whatever happened to Auto Action? No, sorry, that's next month. First name we've come up with is Johnny Dumfries, so we've done a bit of research, a bit of background, and we've got a story about Johnny Dumfries coming up in this Thursday's issue. Also, Paul Morris at length on the fire that caused him considerable grief, still determined to be a caller. Apparently the spare car is just about ready to go, and he's got 2 weekends of racing coming up, so he's in for a hard time with a bad back.
And of course, the one thing that you don't need is a bad back with somebody bumps you again.
That's perfectly true, and I think Jason Wright's finding that out at the moment over there at Mid Ohio, or as they keep referring to it on RVM, wrote it later.
Can they get anything right, those guys?
I'm sure they can.
Actually, Motorsport News, of course, will be covering all the news from last weekend's great race over there at Road Atlanta, which, of course, featured the American World Le Mans Series.
I don't know what they call it now. Is it ELMS or ALMS or GPLMS or...
They have about three different names for... Because they've also got an Asia-Pacific one, and I guess Australia's the only round of that.
I think they should just call it Don's Party after the guy that owns the series.
Well, he certainly had a few good wins this year, which will make for a pretty good party.
Very impressive. I can't wait for Adelaide. I don't know what the reception's like in your part of the world there in the ACT, but there's a lot of people here in Melbourne who can't wait to get back to Adelaide because there's a lot of us go over for the 500 and used to go for the Grand Prix. And the cars just look sensational. And the word is more and more front-level teams are coming every year. And we're also going to have an article on Thursday about who will be driving, who's the latest Australian driver to get into the race.
Okay. Well, hey, who's paying for us all to go to Dubai at the end of the year?
Dubai or Brunei?
Brunei, sorry.
Tony Crockman is actually going to pay for us all to go to Brunei. Not.
No.
And Shell isn't going to do it. It's getting hard. Are you guys going to New Zealand?
No.
No.
Well, we're going to come up with airfares now to New Zealand and Brunei, so...
Yeah.
I'm saving my money for someone going to see Ray in New Zealand instead.
Well, I'm with you there. In fact, I wouldn't mind getting over to Perth this year as well, because...
Since it's going to be the second last time.
No comment, because Perth are very determined to hang on to that event. They're giving it a higher and higher profile, which is good for that event. So we'll see what happens in the short term. And also, in this issue, we talked to the latest Finnish rally star, one of the biggest names in sport in Finland, Mika Häkkinen,
mm-hmm.
Tommi Mäkinen,
uh-huh.
Teemu Selänne.
Selänne?
Teemu Selänne. We talked to Teemu Selänne, $7 million a year with the Anaheim Mighty Ducks NHL star. His hobby is rallying, and you wouldn't believe the way he goes about it, and we've got a story about him.
Also, Australian's still doing well. I don't know whether you get this far down the rung of motorsport, but Australian's still doing well over in the World Speedway Series, which, well, I know Lee Adams already had two Grand Prix victories this season.
Well, we do get down that. You're not reading the back of the magazine, I'm hurt.
I don't read, full stop. If it doesn't have a caption under the picture, I'm screwed.
Oh, well, we've got Mike Patrick taking great photos and Tony Miller there on the scene over there at the Grand Prix. Australian's doing really well. Crump and Ryan Sullivan and those sorts of guys flying the Aussie flag very, very high. And it's a bit of an open season this year because we haven't seen the dominance of the riders we would normally expect in the GP season. People thought that Tony Rickards might be unveiled everyone, but that's not happened.
And also, people like Tatum and a lot of other people sort of only running long track now has sort of meant that there is a lot more openings there.
Yeah, true. And let's not forget, Australia's got a long history in solo speedway. We
considering
were the first country
to
run it. That's right. And, you know, just across the road, people like in New Zealand, Ronnie Moore and Ivan Major and all those sorts of people. Great.
All right, then, Motorsport News is out. I don't suppose you can tell us who's on the cover.
I'm on the cover. No, I don't know who's on the cover yet. We're waiting to see what happens in Hungary. No domestic racing of note. We will have a report from Lakeside, of course, on the lights. But let's wait and see what happens in Hungary tonight. Perhaps Michael will get punted off again.
Well, three's a treat, isn't it?
I think he's out of plate cast with broken mirrors now.
Yeah, well, Carlton certainly didn't use up any luck today, so maybe Shoemaker's got it all.
Oh, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. AFL football, I don't understand. Just give him one football each, there'll be no fighting.
Okay. Phil Brennigan, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you.
Bye.
Much like, you could probably give them one race car each and there won't be any fighting.
Yeah. One of the interesting ones that came out this week, which has actually got me rather mystified, is a press release about a new series they're talking about having starting in 2002, I think it is, over in Europe. And it's an all-new Euro Championship, which has football sponsorship as the backing for it. And they're saying that essentially it's going to be a one-car teams running 4-litre Judd-powered Dallara chassis, developing around 750 brake horsepower, each car sporting the livery of a major European football team. And so it's sort of like Indy Racing League on a road course. And this is a project being put together by millionaires Elizabeth Evans and Colin Sullivan, the Essex businessmen who were behind the bid for the Silverstone Freehold 3 years ago and apparently friends of Bernie Eccleston. And I'd say if they're trying to put on something that is supposedly not going to be technical rival to F1, they'd have to be good friends with Bernie, otherwise I think they'd be looking for some assistance there. But they're talking about 12 rounds, 11 in Europe and 1 in South America, on non-Grand Prix weekends. Each round consists of 2 one-hour races with a 15-minute break in between, 2 qualifying sessions aside the grid for each race. Pit stops will be allowed during the race for tyre changes only, and apparently they plan to expand that into South America and the Far East if it works in 2002 in Europe. So, there you go.
I'm not sure what time we've got to get a hold of Mike Porter, but Telstra Rally Australia was speaking about that a few moments ago, and they've made 3 major announcements in the week that's just passed. The name at the top of the Australian band will feature this year's on the Super Stage at Langley Park, and it will be announced, very, very soon. I think later on in this press release it announces it. And a new look Langley Park Super Stage course will also is being unveiled for this year's events, and also you can have a chance to win a lifetime pass for the rally. Now that's good if they keep it for more than next year, but Melbourne still are trying to get a hold of that race, as we said. But the Minister for Tourism came out on the 9th, Norman Moore, and he launched ticket sales for this year's Telstra Rally at the ceremony midweek. Mr Moore also unveiled the changes in the rally's Langley Park Super Stage. Of course, this was the start of Super Stages in WRC events. He also revealed that Bachelor Girl would be, on the featured program at the concert stage at Langley Park. Of course, Bachelor Girl, very popular Australian band at the moment, and for international listeners, they did the rendition of the Australian National Anthem before this year's Australian Formula One Grand Prix. So have a little bit of a tie in there with motorsport. So, just looking at it, I'll just see if I can't find us, I can't find the actual changes, but you might have them there of what they've done to Langley Park Super Stage.
Not at this point in time. But getting back to mentioning the American Le Mans Series, series promoter Don Panos has put a proposal forward that the manufacturers who want to compete in the series have to, in future, supply cars to private entrants. And the idea being that this would mean that the small teams do not get driven out by spiraling cost technology and the big boys. And apparently this stage has received positive responses from the work team, including Audi, where their boss said thinks it's an excellent idea, and they say that they don't believe that the ability to run the Audi R8, which is the Le Mans winning car from this year, is beyond the capability of any small team. The concept is basically to try and prevent what happened to the FIA GT Championship, where all the factory teams came in and wiped out all the small guys. So very interesting to see what happens there. Also, in terms of other international news, in terms of the British Touring Car Championship, it looks like that things are going to go back to strength for them next year, with word that Alfa Romeo is going to return to the British Touring Car Championship next year, with Italian touring car team Nord Auto to build 147 hatchbacks to contest the series. The cars will be run by National Saloon Car Championship team JS Motorsport, and they'll also field a 3-car team in the National Series. So that's going to be good for them. The word is also that Peugeot is very, very close to making its decision to re-enter the British Touring Car Championship with a Peugeot 307, and Rover is apparently going to enter the British Touring Car Championship with a Rover 45. So with the word that Renault could be coming back in with a few of their people there, I'd say it's looking up. At the same time, a number of the teams are also looking at moving to the European Super Touring Championship to compete over there. One of the other people getting involved in Super Touring lately in the UK is world superbike rider Aaron Slott. He's tested a Honda Accord that belongs to the West Surrey Racing Team. He's raced a Honda in the British Touring Car Championship last year in 1997 at Donington, and apparently wants to compete in touring cars in the future. So hopefully he won't do what he did last time. He was in one of those cars. He well and truly demolished it. So, the other thing is too, Spa 24 Hours was on last weekend as well, and it was a Peugeot 306 that won in a nail-biting finish to the Spa 24 Hours.
What cars, what division was running there at Spa?
They're using the super production category, so all sorts of wonderful cars running there, but here was a Peugeot 306 being driven by Kurt Mollekens, Frederick Bouvier and Didier Defonnet. They had chronic engine trouble in the closing stage of the race with 25 minutes to go. They had a pit stop which lasted which lasted a number of laps, but they still railed to get away and win. And the second place car was a BMW M3 of Jean Michel Martin, Thierry Tassin and Frédéric Moreau. Also interesting to see that Paul Morris has got an offer of driving at Macau this year, which is on the same weekend as the V8 Bathurst. So he's currently got a bit of a decision to make there in terms of which way he jumps at this point in time. So
I've got to remember to turn my mic on, I really do. Also in other news, of course, the Melbourne Rally, the Rally of Melbourne, has been a fairly, controversial event this time round because of the talk that they're trying to push it towards the FIA Rally, Australian round of the World Rally Championship. And, news coming out this week that Hella, it will light the way for the Rally of Melbourne Super Special Stages. The leading manufacturer of automotive lights, Hella, has announced it will sponsor the Super Special Spectator Stage at the end of each heat on this year's Aussie Duck Rally of Melbourne. Hella has been a strong supporter of the rally for many decades and also a major contributor into Rally New Zealand. And its decision to sponsor the Super Special Stage is another to boost the penultimate round of the Australian Rally Super Series. And Glenn Custard spoke during the week and said that it will be run through the Di Bortelli Winery in the Yarra Valley, attracting up to 15,000 people they're expecting throughout each of the days. And, of course, the biggest spectator stage of any Australian Super Series round. So an interesting announcement. And also, with 85 cars already entered with entries from Australia, New Zealand, Japan, it should prove to be quite an exciting event getting underway from Glen Waverley, the Glen Shopping Centre there at Glen Waverley on Friday, August 25th, so only 2 weeks away till the start of that one. And if you really want to go for a programming balls up by Cairns, the same weekend as the closing ceremony of the Olympics, we will see the Tasmanian round of the Australian Rally Championship. It's been moved because Possum wanted to run in an Asia Pacific series which was going to be clashing with the final round that was being held that weekend. Cairns changed the date and gets the closing ceremony. You've got to really take your hat off for that decision.
Mm. And next weekend, we can still keep on the rallying theme of things. It's the Rally of Finland, the 50th Neste Rally of Finland, which is taking place next weekend. And it's an oversubscribed entry list, which was reduced to 130 crews for the ninth round of the 2005 World Rally Championship, the Neste Rally Finland. The classic event is held on closed public gravel roads and the stages form the fastest event in the championship. But at this point in time, news from the teams is that for Subaru, their regular drivers, Richard Burns and Ewa Kankkonen, will be driving in the event. Word during the week that Kankkonen would be dropped from the Subaru lineup for the Tarmac Tour de Course to be replaced by Simon Jean-Joseph, who's been driving a Subaru in one of the national championships over there, doing very, very well against the Citroën kit cars. So Kankkonen will stay into the Rally Finland, but then be dropped for the Tour de Course. To Ford, Colin McRae and Carlos Sainz, they'll be driving two brand new cars, but no technical innovations. And this is Colin McRae's unluckiest event. He's only finished there once back in 1992. And basically as well, as we heard last week, he's signed his contract for another 2 years. The Ford team, they'll have three Ford factors entered, with a fourth car entered to Rhenish British champion Tapio Lakkanen. Esso Peugeot team, they've got cars for Marcus Grönholm and Sebastian Lindholm, and there'll be three official Peugeots entered for the event. While only two, Grönholm and Lindholm, will score points at the championship. The championship, the Francis Dell car, will only score points for the Drivers' Championship. So things going on there. They've got a new remotely activated gear shift system which features a ring inside the steering wheel, which they'll operate pretty much similar to Formula One. Mitsubishi Rally Art, they've got two cars for Tommy Mäkinen and Freddie Loy, and they've got a new differential system. Skoda, they're not competing in the event. Seat, they've got cars for Didier Auriol and Tony Gardemeister. Hyundai have got cars for Kenneth Eriksson and Alistair McRae, and they'll also have the third car this time for Michael Guest, so that'll be good to see him there competing in the Rally of Finland. And more tires than ever, Now, in fact, the Toyota have pulled out a chance that there'll be 9 Toyota World Rally cars entered for the event, and the top-seeded Corolla is the Griffone car of Harry Ravanapira.
Well, a lot of news coming out of the Australian Safari, and joining us on the line now is Mike Porter. And, well, the seeds have been set for the Australian Safari, and a lot of news just coming out in this last week, which is a great for this round of the FIA World Rally Championship, but I can't remember the Endurance Rally Championship. I think it's actually correctly titled, Mike.
Yeah, the Australian Safari starts next Sunday, runs for 8 successive days. Total distance of 4,067 kilometres, of which 2,422 is competitive. 24 stages in all, 7 overnight stops. First 2 nights in Alice Springs, north up to Wycliffe Well and Top Springs, Catherine, and finally into Darwin. So this year there are 24 competitors in the auto division and 35 competitors in the motorcycle division. In terms of the event's actual status, the big news is that next year's Safari has been included on the FIM World Cup for motorcycles, which means that next year we're going to see all the works BMW and KTM and Yamaha and Honda riders here. But this year's field is still pretty good, especially in the motorcycles. There's 15 entries from Japan, and of course Kevin Schwantz from the United States, who's been seated second on a Suzuki, behind South Australian Andrew Caldicott on a KTM.
Well, not the only American that's rated in the top 5, with Casey McCoy also figuring in 4th seed.
No, that's right. Casey McCoy's a 24-year-old Californian. He's one of America's top young riders. He's definitely a guy on the way up. He's competed in some World Cup events this year, and he's also raced in the recent Nevada 2000 in the motorcycle section. Bruce Garland, the top seed in the car division of the Safari, he also competed in that. Another interesting overseas competitor is Steve Blackney. He's a British rider based in Dubai who's won the United Arab Emirates, if I get that right, UAE, motocross championship for 7 of the last 9 years, and he's also competed in the UAE Desert Challenge World Cup event for the past 3 years and finished 10th outright in 97.
Also, one of the big things for the Australian Safari is the logistical operation of getting all the competitors, the support service vehicles, all right across that large distance that they have to cover through the Northern Territory. And I know that everything has been well underway and already stuff moving along into the Northern Territory for that.
Yeah, it's a massive operation, even setting the course. The actual clerk of the course, Bob Carpenter, he spent 10 weeks in the Territory plotting the course, because there's so many small things you have to attend to. Obviously most of the course goes through private property, so Bob has had to go and meet with each individual landowner along the way and get permission for access through their properties. You know, just things like making sure that gates are open and shut. The property owners have to make sure that they haven't got stock sort of roaming around on the course on that particular day. And another thing Bob had to do was also get permission for the event to pass through Aboriginal tribal land. So there's a lot more to it than just a few guys jumping into four-wheel drives and getting onto motorcycles and roaring off into the distance.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. 400-odd people involved?
That's right. Each actual, particularly in the car division, each competitor has a service vehicle with enough spare parts to carry, if they have a major sort of engine problem or mechanical problem, so that they can stop and repair the vehicles either overnight or during the day. And a lot of the motorcycle riders too have, backup support crews. So you have all the officials and the marshals and the scorers and the timekeepers. And instead of perhaps, say, going to a racetrack like Oran Park or Phillip Island or whatever, and everyone arrives at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes home at 5 at night, this is an ongoing thing where you have to move all these people. There's helicopters in the air, there's spotter planes in the air, there's cars or four-wheel drive vehicles roaming around the countryside about an hour ahead of all the competitors, just to make sure that there's been no trees fall down on the course, there's been no sort of rock avalanches, if you like, or no sort of flooding that's happened in the 24 hours before they pass through certain areas. So, there's a lot of planning goes into it. And, of course, things do go wrong, and you have to be able to adapt to those situations.
The other thing, of course, is, well, Vodafone, the world's largest communications, mobile communications company, has taken up the naming rights sponsorship. So that, on top of all the other news that's been going on, has just really put the icing on the cake.
Yeah, it has. I mean, Vodafone see this as a long-term project, and obviously the big attraction for them is that it gives them exposure into an area where it's pretty difficult for a lot of these big companies to get exposure through the outback of Australia, and this is an event that travels from town to town, so it's good from their point of view. And obviously Vodafone can see that the future of the event is, can only get bigger with the World Cup status coming next year, so they've come on board, and they view it as a long-term project, and I'm sure it's going to benefit both parties.
Now, obviously, it then would be a good showcase for the use of the GMS Vodafone system, because obviously everyone's going to be getting a pretty good deal on their Vodafone this way.
That is for sure. And also, you know, the other important people who are backing the event is the Northern Territory government. I guess in the same way that, you know, governments right around Australia now, which is great for motorsport, are backing motorsport events. You've got, in Victoria, you've got the Victorian government backing the Motorcycle Grand Prix at Phillip Island, the F1 Grand Prix at Albert Park. You've got the South Australian government backing the Adelaide 500 V8 race. You've got the government in Canberra backing their V8 race, the Queensland government backing the IndyCar Grand Prix, and the Northern Territory government now backing the Safari, and they've put in a 3-year commitment. So, you know, yeah, it's becoming a very solid, structured event with a very good future.
Have you found over your years here that governments are finally jumping onto the thing, finding that motorsport is great tourism?
Well, it is, and I mean, as far as the Northern Territory goes, you know, their main tourism is obviously the outback, and, you know, there's no better event, really, than the Safari, which travels through all these various small centres, and it really showcases, you know, the landscape and the spectacular views and the whole bush area of the Territory. And of course we're going to be sending out daily vision packages to all the television networks around Australia, and this vision will also go overseas, so it gives them, you know, exposure that they otherwise wouldn't be able to get, because there's not many sort of events like the Safari where you can do that.
And of course this event, the 15th Safari Rally, is really cemented itself in the calendar, and does show that with the now the inclusion of the FIM sanctioning next year has really guaranteed its future.
Well, most definitely. You know, I guess that's the motorcycle side of it, and I know that the organisers, Octagon Motorsport and the Northern Territory Government, are working very closely to try and upgrade the auto division section as well, so that in the future we're going to attract more and more overseas entries in that particular division, because it's important to have, you know, two strong categories in the event, and that's what everyone's working towards.
All right, if we can change your hats now from the Safari Rally, which of course kicks off next weekend. Oh, television coverage in Australia, or just through the regular medias, or have you got a cable or free-to-air deal for a package program?
There will be a highlights program put together after the event, probably be either a 30-minute or a one-hour program, and that will go to air on a commercial television network. That deal's still being sort of worked out. But, yeah, it will. And that package also will go overseas, and that's all part of the deal with the Northern Territory government. I mean, they obviously are keen to see that happen. That's in addition to sort of daily news packages being sent out during the event.
Obviously, World Sport on SBS will be the one to watch, because they certainly devote a lot of time to events like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the networks, I think, have been, that we've spoken to, they're all very receptive. I mean, the vision is really spectacular. I mean, if you get a trail of four-wheel drives and guys on dirt bikes, you know, roaring past Ayers Rock, you know, there's not too many events where you see, you know, scenery like that.
Mm. All right. Now, as I said, I'll get you to change hats for just a moment whilst, well, we have a look at the BOC Gases Championship Series. Once again, getting great coverage right around the world through the Channel 7 television package that's being done. And again, good numbers for a late Wednesday night viewing.
For sure. And that's only going to improve in the summer section. The ratings, actually, that is a dedicated sporting time slot The first four rounds of the championship are in this winter segment, but when we go to summer, the time slot is going to be on the Sunday afternoon after each round between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. So basically, you know, once we get into the daytime time slot, you know, the ratings are going to improve even more, and that's going to be really good. I mean, that's what the sponsors want, it's what the manufacturers want, it's what the teams want.
Mm. Now, of course, this year as well, for the first time, the BSC Gas Super Touring Championship, they've got one of the rounds is going to be down in Tasmania. Have they decided which circuit is going to get better, or is that still for negotiation?
No, that's still being negotiated. But we've got the fourth round of the championship coming up on Sunday week, on August the 27th. And the big news is that I spoke to Paul Morris a couple of days ago. He's definitely going to be driving. Paul actually hopes to be driving in the V8 supercar round at Calder next Sunday. That's, he has every intention of racing. He does have a spare or a second Commodore, the car that Garth Tander drove last year at VS, and he hopes to drive that at Calder next week, and then drive the BMW at Winton the following week. I mean, obviously he's dead keen to race at Winton because he wants to protect his championship lead. Paul's, he's been getting daily treatment from physios and specialists here, and he said that the injury's got three cracked vertebrae. The actual full recovery time is 6 weeks, but, you know, he's not in a great deal of discomfort. He said the worst thing is when he coughs or sneezes or laughs. It gets a bit sore then, but his recovery's come along really well. He's not limping or anything like that now, and it's pretty miraculous that he managed to get out of it with, you know, the degree of injuries that he's got. It could have been a lot worse.
I can almost imagine the opposition, the other guys there, like John Henderson and co, all down at Winton, all wearing, you know, sort of clown outfits and so on, trying to crack Paul up with laughter, make him go slow.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But yeah, it's Winton is, over the years, has produced some real upsets as far as the Super Tourers go. When the BMW and Audi and Volvo Works teams were involved, I remember back in 97, Stephen Richards won a race in the Honda Accord, and that was a huge upset. The other interesting thing about the Winton round of the championship is that we have a Yokohama control tyre in the championship, and they run basically the same tyre for seven rounds of the championship, but at Winton they run a softer compound because the temperatures there are much lower than anywhere else, and they run the softer compound so that everyone gets their tyres up to operating temperature quickly. Mm. So basically everyone has to change all their setups and, you know, practice and qualifying are really absolutely critical on the Friday and the Saturday, because there is quite a lot of changes to do with the cars to get them, to make them suit the size and also the circuit.
Mm. And of course, if there's any round where that John Henderson could potentially make his breakthrough and take a race win away from Paul Morris, would be down at Winton.
Well, it could be, because I guess, you know, Paul with his injury, I know he says he's comfortable and everything, but he's probably not going to be 100%. And John's really got that vector flying. And John, last year, he finished fourth in two of the three races that we had there. We're only having two races this year. So John finished in front of one of the Audis and Matthew Coleman in two races there last year. So he has a good record there. The other interesting thing about Winton is that Tony Newman, who drives the Peugeot 406, the ex-BTCC car, he missed the previous round at Boreham Park. He lost 15 kilos of weight, and everyone was pretty worried about him. And Dwayne Bewley, his young protege from New Zealand, drove the car at Boreham Park and finished fourth, which is a great result. Tony subsequently went into hospital, and they discovered that he had a form of pneumonia. That was the reason for the weight loss. And he's since recovered. He tested the Peugeot at Winton on Friday and came through, you know, no problems whatsoever. And he'll be running, and also there's a fair possibility that he will enter his second car for Dwayne Bewley. So that's great news for the championship.
Mm. Because Dwayne, I must admit, you know, it's the first time he's been back in the car at Oran Park. He had been driving the Subaru in the GDP championship. As he said, he got a lot of nasty habits from driving Subaru, and just kept basically cold back in the Peugeot 406 and do what he did with it. It was a pretty good showing.
Well, Dwayne Bewley is, you know, I believe, you know, a really promising young driver. He's, like a lot of our young guys, suffered from a lack of funding and lack of opportunities. And certainly, as far as Oran Park goes, he was very unfortunate to be turned around on the first corner of the first race. But in the second race, he finished a strong fourth behind Paul Morris, John Henderson and Alan Gurr. And the last five laps, you know, he was all over the back of Alan Gurr. And speaking of Alan Gurr, you know, he's been the absolute find of the championship this year. His kid's only 18 years old. He'd only done three race meetings before the start of the championship, and he's been on the podium in five out of the seven races so far. He's driven quick and clean, and he's really outshadowed his teammate Peter Hills for the majority of the championship.
Mm. And that's the thing, I suppose, if you look at it, you know, if you look at the drivers who are potential race winners there, in addition to Paul Morris down at Wynn, you've got, as you say, John Henderson in the Vectra, Alan Gurr in the Ford Mondeo, Dwayne Bewley potentially in the Peugeot 406. You know, it is certainly going to be a lot more open than we've seen for a while. We've got people as well who are ready to pick up the sport if somebody else messes up in front of people, you know, like David Auger in the Alfa Romeo and the famous vet man in his Honda Accord.
Well, yeah, Jim Cornish has actually spent $16,000 on his engine since Oran Park. He had a split valve there which damaged the top section of the engine. And he's keen to do well because he had a very strong performance at Lakeside, and Oran Park was very disappointing to him. I think really the guy to watch if he races is going to be Dwayne Bewley, because that Peugeot, it's a 1997 spec car, and the Peugeot always seems to go well at Winton. They have problems at some tracks with that car getting the power to the ground, but it does get out of the corners. It seems to work well at Winton, and particularly on that that softer compound Yokohama tyre. So I think Dwayne, with the experience that he gained at Oran Park, if he does run at Winton, I think he could really stick it to John Henderson and possibly be a strong challenger to Paul Morris as well.
Mm. Well, Mike, thanks very much for joining us on Inside Motorsport this evening for the information you've given us on the Safari Rally and the BOC Gases Super Stream Championship, and I hope we'll have a chat to you after the Winton round.
Yeah, thanks very much for your time. It's a great program.
Hopefully we can speak to you next week and get all the details on how on the Safari Rally is going.
Well, that's right. It starts next Sunday. The first stage starts in the Todd Mall in Alice Springs, and they head out to Ross River and come back to Alice Springs. It's a 242-kilometre competitive section in four separate stages, so it's going to be really interesting to see how Kevin Schwantz goes, for sure.
And will do indeed, and a lot of people will be following that just as one of many great stories, and we look forward to speaking to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks very much to Mike Porter there. I will give you that page so I don't have to read too much. As David Coulthard, he has pitched Michael Schumacher and backed up his claim of a race form would be a different story to qualifying. David Coulthard pipped the pole-sitting Michael Schumacher in Ferrari for the fastest time in this morning's Hungarian Grand Prix warm-up. Unfortunately, we've not been able to get to anyone of note over there at Hungary, but that's by the by. The McLaren man with a 1:19.261 lap was 0.02 quicker than the German's best effort. And I shouldn't say too much more, but one noticeable name there was third place, Rubens Barrichello, really turning the corner.
Yep, that's right. He set the third fastest time in the morning's warm-up with Ralf Schumacher, and the Williams actually making a good run there, fourth fastest in the warm-up ahead of Mika Häkkinen, who apparently had problems with traffic during his warm-up run. Heinz-Harald Frentzen was sixth fastest in the Jordan, from Pedro Diniz, seventh in the Sauber, Mika Salo, eighth in the Sauber. Jacques Villeneuve actually doing much better in the morning warm-up, seeing ninth fastest time in the BAR. Jenson Button seeing 10th fastest time in the Williams, ahead of Jano Trulli in the Jordan, 11th. Joss Verstappen in the Arrows, 12th. Pedro de la Rosa, 13th in the Arrows. Fisichella in the Benetton, down in 14th. Not doing too well in race trim compared to qualifying. Alesi in the Prost, 15th. Zonten, second of the Bars, 16th. Eddie Irvine, 17th. Johnny Herbert, 18th in the Jaguars. 19th was Wurz in the second of the Benettons, Mark Sheen in Minardi, Gaston Mazacan in Minardi 2021, and Nick Heidfeld in the Prost 22nd in the warm-up. And interesting too, the fact that with Prost, talk that the Prost name, if the team is bought out, it could see the return of the Lotus name to Formula One, with David Hunt, the brother of late world champion James Hunt, being the owner of the team Lotus name and linked with the private equity investment group who are bidding to take over the Prost team.
I thought Proton owned that.
There's some links to Proton, so we would see potentially that sort of link up coming through in that way. But Lotus Group has sold to General Motors, who have since sold it to Malaysian manufacturer Proton. But it's a case that it's
there's a bit of a wrangle over who owns the team name. David Hunt owns the team name, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
So, whereas Team Lotus was sold, the Lotus Group was sold to General Motors and to Proton. So, it's going to be interesting if they come make their comeback.
All right, I have got an absolute plethora of drag racing news. I know Les Binghorst would be happy to finally hear me talk drag racing after almost an hour of everything but. But persistent fog and light drizzle forced the IHRA officials to postpone final eliminations for the 19th annual CarQuest Northern Nationals at the Michigan, or Mid-Michigan Motorplex on Saturday, August 19th. The tickets for the postponed event will be honoured on the new date, and spectators will be able to see both the Summit Drag Racing Series eliminations and the rained out Night of Fire presentation on that date. The qualifying for the event is completed, and I'll just go through the top round of all the top runners. There's Clay in Top Fuel, Clay Milliken with a 4.88 second run at 283.01. He's going up against Don Reed, who was 8th fastest qualifier. The Mopar Pro Mod Series, Quayne Scott in the Chevy Corvette on a 6.398 at 228.19. We'll go against 16th qualifier, Shannon Jenkins in the Dodge Viper. So a bit of news there for the Dodge fans. The IHRA.com funny car division was Jim Rector, Dodge Avenger, 5.904 at 241.35 miles an hour. He's going to face Wayne Butler in a Chev Camaro, 6.079 at 233.64. In the Pro Outlaws, Laurie Canister will go up against Mark Elwey. So part of the Pro Modified story, though, has not been revealed when the has been revealed, because there is going to be some adjustments, which will vastly affect Troy Critchley running in Johnny Rocker's, I think it's the Iron Horse still, I'm not sure of the name at the moment, but, IHRA President Bill Batter announced that lone Pro Modified cars are permitted to use a 4.71 rear end, effective on Monday, August 21, following the completion of the rescheduled CarQuest Northern Nationals at Mid-Michigan Motorplex. After studying the data from New York and Michigan, it is apparent that the blown cars have a handicap, stated Batter. It was never our intention to make them non-competitive, and the 471 rear end will allow the blown and nitrous cars to achieve closer parity. I am not on record saying I would make adjustments if they were needed, and it's time. So good news there coming for all the blown and blown nitro teams in the IHRA. And of course, one of the big stories in drag racing over in the United States is the number of track sanctions that are changing between the very, very strong NHRA, which of course has always been the prouder and stronger brother to the NHRA, National Hot Rod Association, IHRA, International Hot Rod Association. But this year we're seeing quite a shift in the power, and more news coming out of Lancaster Motorsport Park has switched its sanctioning to the IHRA. The Buffalo New York Drag Strip has switched their sanction to the IHRA effective August 11th. We've given a lot of thought, stated owner Ralph DeLuzzi. The general consensus among staff and competitors here is that the IHRA is the way to go. The program and philosophies of the IHRA fit our plans perfectly. So the change will offer the current Lancaster Points competitors the opportunity to compete in the IHRA Summit World Bracket Finals at Norwalk Raceway Park in Ohio on October 5 to October 8. And the plans are currently being developed for a potent IHRA Holly Sportsman Championship race in the year 2000. So recently completing the 7th annual Sunday Niagara Nostalgia Drag and Car Show, they had 720 cars on site, with 635 of those cars racing. And starting at 11 a.m, finishing at 7:45, we've shown that we can put the cars down the track and handle big events. A Holly Sportsman Championship Series event is our goal. That was explained by the chairman of the board at the Lancaster Circuit there, Galuzzi. And the Summit World Bracket Finals is a big reason for our change. The Norwalk race is on an eighth of a mile this year, which is what our racers are used to and comfortable. And the other thing about IHRA is they're not afraid to run on tracks that are great for spectators, which is that 1/8 of a mile. Look, I want to stay in America for a few more moments as I know that the finals have beckoned in AFL, and Tutty, King Tut, is awaiting to give us all the news on that very, very soon. But I do have a few stories that we should not forget, and that, of course, is in the championship, the FedEx Champ Car Series.
In Mid-Ohio, qualifying.
Yes, that's right, where it has been, well, an interesting one. You've got it there.
Yeah, that's right. Jill DeFerrin took pole position for the race, for his provisional pole from Saturday, despite crashing near the end of the day's final qualifying session at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. DeFerrin turned the fastest time of the day once again, but was a few tenths of a second slower from his best of Friday. He was trying to shave a few more seconds off his time when the apparent transmission failure caused his rear wheels to lock as he entered the first turn at about 150 miles per hour. His car flew off the road, hit a tyre barrier and slipped. So they've called out the reds, and as it is, the grid for the Mid-Ohio FedEx Kart Championship race is Jill DeFerrin in the Penske on pole from Helio Castroneves in the Penske's second position, but there's a bit of discussion there about Dario Franchitti. Reckons he completed his flying lap, which was faster than Helio Castroneves, before the reds came out, but the official said no, so they're going third on the grid ahead of Kenny Brack, Christian Fittipaldi, Max Pappas, Cristiano DeMatta, Michael Andretti back in 8th, Patrick Carpentier in 9th, Juan Pablo Montoya, the winner from last year in the Toyota Ganassi, he's sitting in 10th with Jimmy Vassar right alongside him in 11th, Adrian Fernandez, Mauricio Gugelman, Oriol Servia, Patrick Carpentier, Paul Tracy languishing down 15th, Roberto Moreno 16th, Alex Tagliani 17th, Mike Bundell, Tony Kanaan, Shinji Nakano, Gualter Salas, Tasso Marquez, Nemo Gidley, Luis Garcia Jr. and Michael Jordan Jr. And the word being, Andretti is actually thinking about leaving CART to the IRL so he can race at Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. Look, two final stories before we go AFL, and I'll be very, very quick, King. Bobby Labonte had not started better than 11th in his 7 previous starts at Watkins Glen. But on Sunday, Bobby Labonte has been given that pole position due to, well, heaven-sent forces. Yes, he's not much on the road courses, but thanks to Mother Nature, he'll start on the pole at the Glen. The rain cancelled qualifying on Saturday. Labonte is awarded top spot because he leads the Winston Cup standings. The positions are set by owner's points in the first 35 spots. Well, are given to that. Finishing the field, Darrell Waltrip and road racing star Ron Fellows has made the cut. In NHRA, John Force, well, it was at the game in the 12, was at the game as his 12-year-old daughter settled under a fly ball to make her first catch in the outfield, but the softball father missed it and his back turned momentarily as he did an interview on his cell phone. There's regret in Force's voice as he recalls the moment, but drag racing's biggest star knows the price of being a champion. You have to sacrifice what you want to say, what you want to stay at the top. And he certainly is going to be ready for the Fram Autolite Nationals. Force is leading the points in his bids to match Glidden's record 10 championships, and he's saying he wants 11, and not just to break it, I want to smash it. The Sears Point Raceway, of course, will be where competitions run, and his Mustang engines, well, it's certainly going to be giving everyone, including Jerry Tolliver, who's his closest foe, plenty to think about. So, well, big news there. And also bad news over at Nuremberg, where a German driver, Carlo Bella, 35-year-old, was killed during a crash in the 6th round of the German Endurance Racing Cup on Saturday. So bad news to end that one on, but we do must have to end it there.
Yep, and we did mention the fact that we did talk to Christian Merchant last week at Sachsenring, where he's watching Alex Davidson race in the Porsche Carrera Cup Series. Alex finished 6th in that race. It was a race shortened after 16, but scheduled 24 laps after a safety issue. So good to see him finishing well up there.
That's it for us. Hope you join us.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of SSFM Canberra via Comrade Sat with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. In this, the lucky country, 1 in 5 Australians will suffer from some form of mental illness during any 1 year.
I'm Sabella. I've suffered from depression, tried to commit suicide, but I found the help to get me through it.
Rotarians, through the Australian Rotary Health Research Fund, are helping to fund vital research into mental illness. Phone 1300 364 244.
Hi, I'm Mark Eston. Since 1995, Showtime has brought you all the basketball news after the last. But now, you can catch Showtime before the first. So if it's NBA, NBL, ABA or WNBA, you'll get all the news and results Friday morning after the 10 o'clock news on Showtime.
If you missed the latest race results, take advantage of ACTAB InfoLine.
You'll need to call 6245 1185. For race meetings and result summaries, call 6245 1186. ACTAB's racing information line. Call 6245.
With Krishna, the only...